This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso. Oh, it's fabulous! A strike to get you up off your feet!
Hello, welcome to Seagull Social Season 4, are we at now? Episode 10. Something else, 10, that's it. God, it wasn't on my screen, so it sort of froze my brain a little bit there. But Brighton have not quite beaten Liverpool, but we could have done. We had plenty of chance in that second half, to be fair. But before we get into all the action, we're joined by the boys, Ben and Maz. Boys, how are you doing this after a pretty good weekend?
Yeah, it's been good, man. Just been a long week, I think, especially like travelling a lot. But no, it's good, man. It was good to finally just...
It's been a long week, Maz. It's Wednesday. It's Monday. Yeah. It's a Monday right now.
I don't mean this week. The last couple of weeks, I think, have been a very long one. But it was good. And I think we were just talking about off air, like the turnaround between games is insane now, like playing Thursdays and Sundays. You just don't have like time just to like even compute the last game that's just gone by. Good weekend. And not a terrible result, but I think we could have done better. We could have won it, I reckon. But yeah, here we are.
I do agree. And Ben, yourself, mate?
Yeah, I kind of echo what Maz is saying. Well, I don't think he said he's tired, but I'm absolutely shattered, really. really, I am. But yeah, it was kind of good to watch the game yesterday. I didn't go to the game. I watched it at the Blind Busker with my friends and family, which was quite nice. Lovely little pub that. If you haven't been there, definitely do go. Nice. And yeah, probably had too much
business,
too much, exactly, and probably had too much to drink for a Sunday, but had a well of a time anyway. What about you?
Yeah, it's decent, mate. Yeah, no, pretty good. I mean, to be honest, I look at the game, right, and I think, as you say, I think we could have won it. I mean, we'll start the first half, to be honest, because I think we started very well, and it was in the back of my head after Marseille that, especially after Villa as well, we are very prone at the moment. I don't know about you boys, it's a big talking point for me, of conceding goals quickly. So we almost collapse really, really quickly. And I don't know, it's almost like a bit of a bad habit that we've got ourselves into at the moment. And as soon as that second went in, as soon as that second for the penalty got given, I just thought it's happening again. And I don't know about you, Matt, I can see you nodding and agreeing with me. As soon as that happened, I just thought, are we getting another one of those where we're just going to collapse?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I think it's happened a lot recently, like even going one down against Bournemouth. And then, yeah, we saw in Marseille what happened, going 2-0 down within like 3 or 4 minutes, or around that.
Only 80 seconds or something.
Yeah, like literally a minute and 20 seconds or something.
Well, why did it so much longer? Yeah, 80 seconds then. Yeah. And then, yeah, and then like you said, against Liverpool, 1 minute or whatever it was. It is happening a lot recently, and I think that's down to, I think defensively we are looking much worse than we were last season, and I personally think it's down to losing Caicedo and McAllister. I think that pivot we had was just, it was a best blend of everything. We had Caicedo tracking back, like protecting that back four, and then you had McAllister sort of being that puppeteer, or whatever you want to call it, just pulling the strings in the middle as well. And I think we had a bit more protection last year compared to this season. But in saying that, I think Belaba will come good, and I think he'll add that protection, hopefully, with time to come. I think we're really struggling defensively at the moment. And I think that is generally down to Caicedo. I know a lot of us don't admit it, but I think losing Caicedo has shown that I don't think we're as defensively solid anymore. But like I said, that can change with Belabor and hopefully maybe a little bit of tinkering from and some consistency in lineup.
That's what I was going to say. I think just losing Caicedo is bad enough, but then not having the consistent spine, what people call it on football Twitter and all that sort of shit, but having the same goalkeeper and having the same two centre backs week in, week out that are used to passing the ball around the back is so key. And the fact that, you know, Dunk and Igor, that was the first time they played together competitively, I'm pretty sure. The Bruggen as well came in after two games of Jason Steele, where Jason Steele shipped, what, 8 goals, I think? Yeah. Well, and then,
when you put it like that, 8 goals in a week.
I know, it's rough. And then obviously, I was quite surprised when he started against Marseille. And then, he had a kind of another mistake, where that was Jason Steele. But yeah, we're talking about Verbruggen, who had a mistake in him as well. Kind of, he was probably the biggest culprit that led to the penalty. Having no consistency there in defence is also a massive issue, as well as not having Caicedo and Mac.
I do agree to an extent. I think I think it's a really good talking point, to be honest. I wanted to mention it early on because it was bugging me before the Liverpool game, and I was just thinking, and I actually did speak to the Zerbi about it as well, which I haven't actually released, so I can just do the quotes on it, to be fair. And it was one of them where I thought, we just seem to almost, we go from a team that looks so world-class, and we will get on to us looking world-class in a minute, don't worry, this isn't a negative pod by any stretch, but I just wanted to get this thing out of the way. Just thinking, we go from looking so good, and then we just look for about 5 minutes maximum, I'd say, just like a team that's never played together before. And it happened at Villa. Or if you go to Villa, we had, I think it was Watkins scored the first, wasn't it? And then it was just what just happened, because all of a sudden, 15 minutes later, we're 3-0 down. Marseille, 1 minute 28 seconds, all of a sudden it's 2-0 down. And it happened here, and we were 1-0 up, cruising, in a game that we've controlled so much, and then we're 2-1 down just before half-time. So it's a weird theme. I think, you may be right, it may be the consistency stuff, but I'd argue that we are looking better under Carlos. I'm glad you mentioned Belabor here, because, I don't know, him and Igor were very, very, very reassuring, weren't they, Ben?
Yes, they were very, very good. I think that partnership between Dunk and Igor could be something special. And we know that Van Heck and Dunk work quite well together, which is good, seeing as Webster, will he ever start for us again? Or will he start consistently for us again? Unless there are some injuries, doesn't look like it at the moment. So that partnership looks pretty good. Belabor's so good. When I saw him that he was starting, I thought we actually have a chance here. Because my pre-match prediction was like 3-1 Liverpool.
Someone who can tackle, mate.
Yes, someone who can tackle.
It's insane.
It's nuts. Well, honestly, just that strength in midfield as well, we've lacked for so long.
And I think we can see as well, like he's still lacking fitness-wise, like match ready. You can tell, like, what was it, against Chelsea away in the Carabao, obviously he went down with cramp. And then he went down with cramp again yesterday.
Twice.
And I got a yellow card in the process.
That was amazing, though. Like, he got up after the first time, managed to make a challenge, I think, and then went down again.
And then he got a yellow as well. But, I think once he's got his full match fitness, like, in him, like, if he's that good when he's, you know, arguably lacking match fitness, imagine how good he's going to be when he's fully fit.
19 as well.
Yeah, he's 19 as well, yeah. And I think once you have, like, I think Gross and him work quite well, actually. Until, obviously, like you said, we had our dodgy couple of minutes. But, that could be a potential little partnership there. I think Gross and Belabor in centre midfield. I actually really like that front four, of Adingra, Matoma, João Pedro and Ferguson. I think Ferguson's been a bit off it. I know he's been struggling with fitness and stuff, but he did feel a bit off it yesterday and previous games that he's played. But I think that's purely down to him just not being fit or, you know, ill, whatever he's...
Oh, Ryan, you can tell me this, but someone on the fly, I'm not going to name any names, but someone told me and Mads that he doesn't like football. He's one of them ones like Ben White and Benoit Suakota that doesn't actually like playing football, and he does it just as a job.
We got told, but we don't know for sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, which made me think.
I'll do some digging.
Yeah, and I asked a question. I was like, when a player doesn't like playing football, do you think, compared to a player that likes playing football and has a passion for it, if Evan Ferguson had a passion for the game, do you reckon he'd be even better? And that's a question for you, Ryan. Or do you reckon he would still be the same ability?
I don't know. It's
surely
a good
if
point,
you
though,
love doing something, I don't know, you just maybe have that extra little bit in
you. And I think your downs are harder, because it's obviously harder to motivate yourself to do
true.
something you don't want to do. It's like, you know, with doing a job you just hate doing is it's the worst. And this is not to be horrible, by the way. I've had to do the same thing, but it's just nasty, right? And I think when you've got Ferguson, I look, he's got the best job in the world. To compare that to anything like, you know, nursing or anything like this, or crazy jobs out there, right? It doesn't compare. But I think if you're being paid that amount of money, surely that's enough of a motivator to get yourself going. But I do think on Ferguson, though, I do think he's actually been ill. Based on De Zerbi's quotes, he seems to be quite maybe because he's 18 and taking a bit of time to not only recover with that, but get up to speed in the Prem must be difficult after you've had an illness or after you've carried an injury or whatever. But I don't know. I think in that first half particularly, I thought that first goal, we'll go to that now, because
so I just want to put a disclaimer
out there. It happened
in
a flash.
That it could just be a rumour, by the way.
I do want to say that.
I'm not saying it's Bible.
It was something that was told to us on the plane, just as a disclaimer. Yeah. We don't know if it's true at all.
Yeah.
Bronze medal.
Bronze medal on Twitter. Yeah, I don't know what's below bronze. Yeah, you don't even get a medal. That's how poor the
just
sources.
just like a number four or something.
yeah,
exactly. But yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's blocked my brain. So Odinga has obviously got the first one. Sort of caught me napping, because I thought up until then we played very, very well. We're pretty much all over them for a good sort of 20 minutes, I'd say. Pretty dominant, getting a few chances in there and playing our normal stuff, which was really reassuring. I mean, we've gone into a few games recently where we haven't even started well. We've essentially just started pretty poorly and then played well in the second. This time, controlling the game, and it's actually Alexis McAllister who's given the ball away to Odinga. What a finish. Return of the Mac. Look, I will give credit to Mac at the end, but I think that finish from Odinga, he's caught him sleeping, hasn't he? And it's a great finish, isn't it, Matt?
Mm. Yeah, unreal. I thought it was brilliant. And do you know what? I thought it was a bit harsh, people saying it was like McAllister's fault, because Van Dijk killed him with that pass. I'd put the blame more on Van Dijk, to be honest. But don't get me wrong.
Yeah, fair point.
McAllister could have done better, of course. He sort of just didn't react in time and got a nip ball. And then, yeah, like you say, Ryan, Odinga's finish was unbelievable. Like, just that opportunist sort of strike. And
weak
he had
the foot.
Speed. Yeah, weak foot. He had the speed sort of, like, take that first two, three touches and then just wallop it from distance. So, it was brilliant from Odinga. I really like him. I think he's brilliant. I think he's a fantastic player. It's a shame that him and Matoma play on the same side, because you'd start them both. I know he started on the right yesterday.
But if
you could fit them both in, you would, because I think they're both fantastic players and they both deserve to start every week. But really well taken goal, and it was sloppy. And all three goals were gifts, weren't they, really? But yeah, the first one definitely a gift for us, and we took it well, I thought.
He was definitely got that fan favourite vibes, hasn't he, Ben? I don't know what it is about him. He's very raw, he's very naive, but I think it makes it better. I don't know. He's just so entertaining to watch and pretty unpredictable that it just makes you love him, doesn't it?
Yeah, in the pub when he'd done like Ronaldo chop, like I'm 5 years old, but he'd done like a Ronaldo chop on Robertson. And I just screamed in the pub. I just went, have my kids. That made a few of the people in the pub laugh. But yeah, like he says, you just never really know what he's going to do. He's quite an unexpected player, unpredictable, like you said, and it was just always really exciting to when you have a player like that. When you got similar to Knockout, I guess, just so unpredictable, really tricky, gets people off their seats, and that's exactly what Odinga does. I'm very happy to see that he's actually doing well on the right, because I think on the first couple occasions, maybe during pre-season when he played on the right, it didn't look as good, but now he seems to be getting better on the right, which is where he's probably going to find more minutes, to be honest, because I think Maz mentioned you're not going to be starting ahead of Matoma when Matoma's fit, are you?
No, I do agree. And I think, actually, it's worth mentioning Matoma quick, actually, because he looks done. And I mean, he looks done in physical terms. I feel like he's just been played and played and played and played and played. And it was that conversation, wasn't it, with Bukayo Saka going into an international break. And just before we started filming this, Matoma has been withdrawn from the Japanese squad. If it's going to be one of those that's club related. Yeah, thank God for us. Yeah. Obviously, this is always one of them, isn't it, where you're like, you know, if you're a young player, well, no, he's not so much young now, but if you're a player, you want to play as many games as you can, a short career. You want to play for your nation. But at the same time, how much do you have to balance wanting to play for your team, you know, because it's only a matter of time before an injury comes his way, isn't it, Maz?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think we've seen, like you mentioned, a few games now where he's he's still having moments of brilliance. Like we saw Marseille with the assist. We saw Bournemouth, obviously, his cameo and getting two goals. Like
totally.
Yeah, like of course, he's still got the quality, but I agree with you. I think we're not seeing it as often. And he goes, I've noticed what he does in games sometimes. He's quite quiet now. Like, well, in the last couple, I think, again, because of fatigue and he's not able to do what he can do for the full 90. I think he's sort of picking his moments now a bit more selectively, like when to sort of unleash and when to sort of attack players. And I think as a result, yeah, he does go missing because of that. So, yeah, he hasn't... I wouldn't say he's been like the Matoma we all know and love maybe at times, but then all of a sudden in a game, he can just spark and he just finds that moment of brilliance still. So I think that shows a lot about how good he actually is. He can still turn up when he's maybe at his weakest or at his most tired. So yeah, no, I agree. I think a rest will definitely help. I think get him just resting as much as he can during this international break. And then hopefully when he comes back, he's the Matoma we all know and love and he can keep smashing it as we know he can do.
This international break has come at such a good time as well, going into like the remaining three games of this horrendous spell of matches. Just like a whole squad needs a rest. That's how it is with these fixtures now. So yeah, it's come at a great time. Thank God for that.
Definitely.
Mate, Lewis Dunk's finally been called up and we don't want him to be.
Yeah, it's I know. Like,
because he's another one that's looking physically done. To be fair, Dunk actually got done a few times, didn't he, in this one? Yeah. He gave the ball away a few times too. Not to dig out Lewis, because you can't do
it. I was actually going to have this sort of uncomfortable chat. I think past couple of games, he has been pretty poor. I'm not going to lie. Like, I think, especially Marseille, like that, he just completely missed the ball. They went on and scored. And then again, the pass for the first goal, I want to say, or this, I can't remember. Yeah, the first one. The pass was poor, sloppy. And I think, there's just been a few occasions recently that he has been sloppy. And we know he's got it in him. We know he's got a mistake and a bit of an OG like back in the day. And he hadn't done it for so long. And we've just, for some reason, in the past couple of weeks, and I think it's down to how many games we are playing. I think that's why we're seeing a few more mistakes creep in, just purely because of the volume of games. Because, I think he had eradicated it quite a lot from his game. But, it's sort of started to creep back in, unfortunately.
Can we talk about the main problem of Lewis Dunk, which is him stepping up for free kicks? Other than training, when they released that clip of him in Dubai, pinging him in top corner, maybe he scored one for Vardine when he was like 14 years old, but I don't think he's ever scored a free kick since.
Sold us a dream, mate.
He did. Yeah, Maz probably saw it. Why is he stepping up to free kicks? We've got Pascal Gross on the pitch, I think, at Liverpool. Against Marseille, it was a key moment. Don't get me wrong, if Dunk's scoring a free kick, the winner away at Marseille that late, it's going to be limbs, like a historic goal. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I'm willing to put a historic goal out of the question and put João Pedro on it. He's Brazilian. He has to be good at free kicks. Anyone other than a centre-back who's English called Lewis Dunk needs to be on free kicks from now on. I'm sorry. He's the captain. He can do what he wants, but... Just Dunkey, you've had your time, you've had your tries. You had one disallowed against West Brom. I think that's the only one he scored for us, man. It didn't even count.
I think he scored one against Liverpool, I think.
Did he score one against Liverpool? Oh, when he like passed it to the bottom corner.
The one that went under the wall.
That was just, I wouldn't, maybe that does count as a free kick, but it's not like a proper like free kick. Because that was controversial as well.
Doesn't count as a free kick. No, but to be fair, I get what you're saying.
He literally passed it to the bottom corner.
Like, you want to see him score like...
Yeah. A knuckle ball, like you've seen him do in Dubai.
He thinks he's David Luiz, mate. He thinks he's David
You're not that guy, pal. We love you, Lewis Dunk, but please stop taking... We love you, Lewis, Carl Dunk, but please just stop taking free kicks for every Brighton fan's sake. Because when I put a meme up on Seagull Social Twitter...
It does seem like a bit of a waste, quite a lot of engagement.
It does. Like, someone was saying he looks like he's doing a rugby lineup, run-up, which was from Keane Malaburn. I thought that was quite funny, and it's true.
Basically, long shot, I do get it. Take him off penalties, mate.
Free kicks and pens.
Free kicks.
Penalties. If anything, penalties maybe could have been a use to us before João Pedro. But I mean, to be honest, this is the thing I always say with free kicks. Who have we actually got to take them? Do you know what I mean? Who is in that squad that is just, they have to. It's not, there's no one there. Realistically, there isn't.
We'll never know that there is because Lewis Dunk takes them or he never gives anyone else a chance. Someone said it was funny the first time, Lewis. We need a new set piece taker.
Funny the first time.
Talking of Talking of set pieces, set pieces. I did want to bring this up actually. Did you know, boys? I'm sure you do know.
Is this a stat about us being poor at corners?
No.
Oh, damn it, because I want to know that.
Oh, okay, no. This is without João Pedro's penalties, penalty goals, he'd be on one goal this season, which I think perfectly sums up his, let's be frank, absolute howler of a miss yesterday when he blazed it over.
Oh, no, I can't dig out João like this.
It has to be spoken
had
about.
Me on my feet applauding.
We've got to talk about it.
He had me on my feet applauding when he tracked back 60 yards. I'm just saying. That was one of the best trackbacks for a striker I've ever seen. That was fantastic. I'm not digging out João. I can't do it.
I love him. Let's just put out there. I do love him. However, he has shown at least three or four times now that for some reason... He's struggling.
He has missed
a fair few sitters since his time here. And like I said, if you take out his penalty goals,
we hired Bruno back, mate. That's what it is.
Yeah. But like, if you take out his penalty goals, he'd be on one goal this season. Now, I mean, I'm not knocking him because it's his first season in Prem. First season in the Premier League for us since he's moved from Watford. But like, yeah, I just feel like his finishing does need to improve, especially if you're going to play him. I know he's not playing him as a number nine, but if he is going to want to play as a number nine or as a striker, his finishing has to improve. I'm sorry, but he has to be more clinical than he has been so far. I just want to caveat all that by saying I do love him as a player. I want him to start. I like him in the 10 role. I think he's very, very good. It's just, yeah, his finishing does need improving, in my opinion. Not to say I'm some like striker, but yeah, he doesn't.
I get what you're saying to a degree, but like, yeah, I think I haven't actually seen his chance back, to be fair, but I can imagine it. It seemed to
anywhere
happen
on
quite
target.
Quickly from where I was. I mean,
anywhere on target,
one of them on
yeah,
target.
Yeah, it's a shame, as you say, because I just thought he was fantastic yesterday, and I really did. Yeah. I thought he had a great game. I thought his overall link up was fantastic, and it's one of them, and hopefully. He does sort that out because he's got all the marks of making up that 30 million for being. But I do think he's definitely not a number nine. He has to be sort of as that number 10 role,
definitely.
Floating on the wing, that sort of role.
100%. Yeah, 100%. I want him in that 10 role. But that's what I'm saying. If De Zerbi sees him as a striker or an out-and-out striker, his finishing has to improve. But I don't think he is. I think, you know, like how people talk about Gabriel Jesus now. How he tried to play as a striker for so long and he just wasn't a clinical finisher. And I think we might see that as well with João, is that, yeah, he's not an out-and-out striker. He is more of a number 10 or can sort of drift that wide, like you said, Ryan. So I'm not knocking him at all. He's had a fantastic start. Mm. He's playing really, really well. It's just, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and incredibly yesterday, that wasn't the worst miss of the game. It was Gavin Birch's when he
missed. My God, yeah, Jesus
That was an absolute howler.
What happened there?
Oh, when he hit the crossbar.
My memory's gone.
It's like an open goal.
Oh, the bar, yes. Yeah, my God.
The cross back post.
Mate, I'd already sunk back in my seat at that point. Yeah. I thought that was a goal.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. I mean, yeah, it was a great cross, to be fair. Who was it crossed it in? I think Trent, maybe?
I
don't know who it was.
Was it McAllister?
Maybe. Whoever it was, it was a fantastic cross.
I'm pretty sure
cross.
It was Alexis.
Yeah, it was poor from us, to be honest. It was a great cross, but poor from us. And Graham and Birch, I don't know how he's missed from there. I actually couldn't believe it. I was just like, what the hell have I just witnessed? But yeah, that was poor from him.
Yeah.
But
I thought that opening sort of 20 minutes of the second half, they definitely got back into the game, I'd say. I don't think that they created a fair bit. They knocked the ball around a lot. There wasn't too much to really report on in terms of actual chances, apart from, as you say, that Gravenberch moment. I thought we really were... at the time, I thought a draw was a fair result. But then since I've come away from it, I'm starting to think, actually, when I look back on that game and I'm reciting these sort of moments, I'm thinking, actually, we could have scored. We had that João Pedro moment.
Definitely.
We had a couple of moments, a Dingra as well. Actually worth mentioning when Evan Ferguson was still on the pitch, just remembered, he sort of pinged that Harry Kane-esque ball from deep, didn't he? And it's a great pass, by the way. Dingra has latched onto it. He's already beaten his man. And I think it was Alisson's made that save, I think, with his hand. It was a great save, by the way.
Yeah, I remember.
But yeah, that ball from Ferguson.
Yeah,
out nice to see he's got that in his locker.
Yeah, I noticed that he loves it.
Yeah, agree.
I know it's like very Harry Kane-esque, like you said, Ryan.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, with Ferguson? I mean, as you say, yeah, okay, he's been in a bit of bad form, but that overall game is exciting me because I love a centre forward that drops deep and can actually create a chance, because we haven't really, really had one, apart from Welbeck, probably, that I can think of that can drop back and do a job. Murray, maybe, but he lost his legs by the end of it. But yeah, I think, as we said already, I think it's worth mentioning the man who has not got the plaudits, I think, but completely deserves them, is Solly March.
Yes,
I thought he was brilliant at left back. As we knew he was Solly, we knew Solly was great at left back. He had the job of dealing with Salah, when obviously it's a Salah that knows that Estupiñán's out. He knows that Lamptey's out. And it's a Salah that has scored, okay, he got two goals again, but on the most part of that game, he didn't do anything really. And I thought that Solly, full credit, deserved all the plaudits there. And I think he made the Who Scored Team of the Week as well. Ben, any words on Solly's performance?
Yeah, it's just very good. Very nice to see that he can still do that job at left back. Because I think it was Graham Potter that put him on that left wing back role, and we thought that worked really well. So to see that he's still got it after the past year that he's had under Zerbi, being one of our main threats with goal, with the goals and assists that he's had. Yeah, it's just nice to see that he's another option for us at left back when we're going to have all these fixtures, and it's probably not for the last time he's going to have to play a left back this season, to be honest, until January.
I actually think as well, like I said earlier, I actually like that, you know, that front four we had. And I think in a weird way, like having Solly left wing back or left back frees up obviously the right wing role. And that could actually maybe be not a blessing in disguise, but it could be potentially like a nice sort of refreshing sort of a take on the team. And yeah, we could see, yeah, a Dingra slot in there. You could see, you know, it basically opens the door for another player to come in and press. So yeah, obviously I want Pervis Estupiñán back ASAP, but in his absence, yeah, I don't think it's the end of the world having Solly March there, because mate, you remember he had his unbelievable stint, you know, at that period of time where I think we were touting him for like player, I think he won player of the season that season, wasn't it? When he was playing left
I think back. It was when he got injured under Potter. It was that spell when he was really, really good there.
Yeah,
I remember he was getting we were
raving about how good he was and how he should win it.
Yeah, we were shouting him for England.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I think he's a brilliant option at left wing back, and I think a lot of us, well, I'm speaking for myself, I forgot that he was an option there. Do you know what I mean? When Pervis Estupiñán got injured, I was like, do we have anyone else that can sort of play there? Obviously, Lamptey's...
Nah, to be fair, I actually did back Solly there, you know, because I think, yeah, as you say, he did prove it so well. And I think he was actually on for our player of the season, wasn't he, back then? And then he got injured, as you say, in that February, and then it went to Ben White, I think, because Leeds hijacked it. But I actually do think Solly was on for that player of the season then. Yeah. But yeah, no, he was very, very good, as you say. I don't want to just repeat everything you just said, but it's very, very exciting, that versatility we've got in the squad, because... Yeah. As you say, when we've got this many games coming up, especially big, big games that we've got, obviously when we come back, it's City, then we've got, I think it's Ajax at home, I think is the next game at home. So there's probably another one in between. I think Fulham's coming up too. So there's some tough games. Every game's tough now for us. Yeah. And it's a new sort of era we're in. And actually on the back of that Marseille game, it's worth noting that you could just tell the experience that we've gained just from the first game at Athens to the game against Marseille. Obviously, I didn't get to give my opinion on this. And I think that that's only going to help us the more and more we do it. And I think that, you know, the more and more games we play as the Zerbi, I think we're just learning on the job. I think you even saw it during the game at Marseille and during the game even at Liverpool, where we've, that worry we had at the beginning of the podcast of we can see very, very quick goals. And my worry has always been, do we come back well enough? And probably on the basis of the last 3 or 4 months, I'd say no, we probably don't come back into games when we concede first. I do worry that we're just going to go and capitulate as we did at Villa. You come into this game, we've scored again, and it's the same as Marseille. It's Lewis Dunk has helped us out here, and it's a set piece, funnily enough, Ben. As we were talking about, we don't really score from set pieces. I couldn't believe my eyes, to be fair. Mm. But it was one of those where it felt like we richly deserved it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, like you said, every time we kind of get a corner, I'm just not hopeful anything's going to happen. Although we did have that one chance early in the half where it was a nice corner move. But putting balls into the box, I can't remember the last time, from a corner anyway, the last time we've scored from one. But luckily this one was from a free kick, so the curse didn't really continue there. Yeah, I was just...
Dunk, Spurs, what comes to mind, but I can't think of any other.
It was just nice to see Dunk get a goal after, yeah, kind of the shaky moment he had against Marseille when he had a mistake there. And yeah, just if anyone was going to score and get us back into the game, I was just glad to see it was Lewis Dunk.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was just going to say as well, on that as well, I thought it was actually a great finish from Dunkey, first of all. But he's definitely got that in his locker. We know that he, from set pieces especially, like he's great in the air. And he's actually quite good with his feet, as we see by his range of passing is outrageous. So, yeah, as much as it was like Dunkey scored, it was actually like, well, yeah, it was a great finish, to be honest with you. So like with the pace of the ball and the way he sort of just cushioned it in, great finish.
All thanks to a Robertson mistake as well. Could have happened to a better bloke. Happened to a better bloke. They won't go.
To be fair. And actually, I think it was Solly that put that ball in as well, who notoriously has some fantastic crosses on him.
Wonder the left foot.
Solly, when it comes to... I absolutely love Solly's rise in the last few years, but okay, that's a great ball in, but please don't hit the first man every corner. It drives me mentally. It's one of them pet peeves in football that I just can't deal with. How can a professional footballer not beat the first man for a corner? It drives me mad. But yeah, finally we actually didn't, and that was nice to see. As I say, it was a bit of a shock to the system, to be honest. But as another player I was going to mention, that it's gone completely out of my head, but I feel like I've just done so many player mentions.
Igor,
that my brain's gone.
Did we ever actually do Igor? But it was something, probably.
Yeah, I think maybe it was Igor. Did we mention Igor?
We only did very briefly.
Yeah, it was probably Igor. Yeah, it's worth mentioning because I think him, Van Hecker, are very good. And I think it's harsh the goal return we've had, I think, because Jan Paul, I thought, has been really good since this season. He majorly surprised me. I didn't think he had it in him, what he has got in him. Igor was, I probably, as you say, Ben, played his best game. It's hard to determine. I thought before the game it was Van Hecker was our second best defender with Dunk. But after that, I'm now thinking, to be fair, I mean, he's got this Achilles injury now. I might keep him out for a bit. But I don't know about you, Maz. Igor really, really surprised me again, a bit like Van Hecker has done this season, is actually we do have some very good depth and actually we just need to give them more time.
Yeah. Well, I think the first time we saw Igor was Athens, wasn't it? When he started that game. That was the first time.
That was his first competitive.
And I'll be honest, that game against Athens with Van Hecker, I was a bit like, I'm not sure. I was sort of, the jury was out a little bit. I know it was only his first game, but like on that basis, I was a bit like, not too sure. Like he looked a bit sluggish. He looked a bit, not the best on the ball, but then like...
I actually am surprised you say that.
Basically, I wasn't impressed at Athens. I know there's a lot of mixed reviews. No.
Yeah, because I thought he'd done well, because there's a lot of pressure him on that game, because he was the Dunk replacement, getting balls fed to him constantly when Dunk wasn't there.
Yeah, I just thought, well, we conceded three goals. I'm not saying it was all down to him, but I just wasn't as impressed with him in the Athens game. But since then, I think he's looked much better, like in the Carabao Cup against Chelsea, and of course yesterday as well. He looked really, really good. So, yeah, I think he's definitely grown as the game's gone on. Of course, he's got to adapt. And unfortunately, like Ryan said, now that injury hopefully doesn't sort of like keep him out too long, and he doesn't, you know, guard the team. Because I think, yeah, it'll be a really interesting partnership, especially left-footed as well, with the left-footed centre-back. As we talked about with Colwill last season, I'm pretty sure he's left-footed, isn't he? Yeah. How important that is to have that, I think, that option. Because as we saw with Colwell, that was so important last season. Just having a left-footed centre-back was so key to how well we played. And I think that could be a massive weapon for us, having Igor, the left-footed left-footed, I can't even say that phrase for some reason, left-footed centre-back, having him as an option will be great. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see who he goes for. Does he go for Van Hecker? Does he go for Igor? I don't know who I'd pick at the moment. I think they're both equally very good.
Yeah, I think it's a common theme for me here. It's just, we need to give these players time. I mean, it's so easy on social. I mean, they come on and they're just like, yep, not good enough. He's played the game. Not good enough. He needs to do this. And he's not as good as Cole. He's not as good as Caicedo. Not as good as McAllister. But actually, I think that Gilmore's filled McAllister's role quite well. I thought Belaba isn't Caicedo, and that's a whole conversation itself. But I really don't think. He's a very different to Caicedo, I think. More of a powerhouse. Not really someone we've seen apart from probably Bissouma. But Belaba gives me that. He's rapid, you know. Yeah. Really, really quick. It completely surprised me how quick the boy is. But yeah, I don't know about you, Ben, but like just giving these players time to integrate and grow and learn on the job. Yeah, or Maz, it's up to you.
Oh, no, go on, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was literally just looking because I remember when during the time when before Athens, which was the 21st of September, Igor hadn't played competitively. And we were thinking like, is he just, does Zerbi not like him? Is there a reason why he hasn't featured at all when there have been chances for him to actually play? But now he's been thrown in it and it's paying off. It's like, makes you think, why didn't we see him sooner? But then like we kind of say, he probably wasn't ready. A bit like Belaba, it's taken him a little bit longer to get into the team and finally start, which was great. And now we're kind of reaping the rewards from it. Just having those two in the team filled me with so much more confidence when I saw them starting against Liverpool.
Mm.
Which bodes well going in the future, because obviously it hasn't been the best spell recently to be a Brighton fan, which is crazy because of how well we have been doing. And it's looked a bit shit at times, to be honest. Obviously losing 6-1 is never going to look good, but I wasn't as hopeful for the remaining few months before January with the games that we've had constantly and how the squad's going to react. But when you've got Belaba coming in, so another option, and Igor showing that he's actually pushing to be at one of the starting centre backs, yeah, it fills you with a lot more hope going into Jan.
Definitely.
I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, because I think Dunk mentioned it, didn't he? Zerbi's mentioned it, that we are in a weird patch where we don't quite know what's going wrong. There's no real set. I don't know. There's no real set thing that you can identify as wrong. Like, you could question the mentality at Marseille, you could question the mentality at Villa, but then second half you couldn't. Because we came out and we came back. And I thought, okay, so it can't be my mentality thing. But then we did it again at Liverpool. So I thought, oh, maybe it is. And then we came back again. So maybe it's not. So it's a bit of a strange one.
Defensive mistakes would be like the really easy thing to just point at. But then obviously you can probably go way more in depth as to why those defensive mistakes are happening. And if I had to put one bet, it would be the inconsistency in defence is the issue there. You're playing with players that haven't played together constantly. Verbruggen, Duncan, Igor have never played together. And they're the ones constantly passing the ball around with each other. Yeah. So mistakes are going to happen. They might do it in training and practice those sort of sequences and routines and training together, but on the pitch, it's obviously way different. So those mistakes are obviously very, very, very more likely to happen when they haven't played with each other before.
No, again, not to sort of repeat what Ben's just said, because I think it's bang on. But yeah, I think it definitely comes down to like why things are going wrong. It's definitely like I tweeted about it yesterday. I just think we're playing out the back. I've got no issues with, and that's how we play. This is why we've become so good, is because we play out from the back, and that's how De Zerbi wants to play. And I completely, I'm an advocate for that. However, it's when you do see those sloppy balls and you do see that naivety at times, like yesterday with Bruggen, there was one point where he'd messed up like literally a minute earlier. I think he'd done a poor pass, and then the ball came back to him and he just booted it long. And I was like, okay, but that's so rare to see nowadays. But you know, from any Brighton player, let alone the keeper, especially like I think we're the only team not to have done a long goal kick. So to see him do that, I was actually quite refreshing. I was like, that's do that a bit more. Not every time, but once in a while. Sometimes you do just have to get it out there. No, I think.
Yeah, to be fair.
Go on. Oh, sorry. No, I was just going to finish off saying, I'm all for playing at the back, and I'm not saying Bruggen has to stop doing it. And if anything, actually, do you know, I want him to be get better with his feet. It's just, yeah, I just think sometimes, just sometimes, once in, you know, every 30 minutes, every 60 minutes, sometimes you do just have to just get it out. Like, just get it out, get rid of it. Because sometimes we do, that's where the mistakes creep in. And that's when you do make those misplaced passes, which we saw yesterday happen. And Bournemouth, you know, when Verbruggen passed it for the first goal. Like, you know, I think that's where those mistakes creep in, is where sometimes you just make that wrong decision of not going long, or maybe, you know, a more of a mid-range pass rather than just a short pass. So yeah, it's just those little mistakes that we're making, I think, needs eradicating.
Yeah, I wouldn't want us to start kicking it long, to be honest. I think the only thing maybe that I'd say that would be similar was when, I think it was Belaba's first challenge on the left. This is plucking my memory, to be fair, but I think it was Szoboszlai or whoever it was on the left at the time. And they came across, and I think it was Belaba's man. It was one of his first tackles of the day, and he should have just cleared him out. They had to go out, and he sort of tried to run over it and then pass it. And then he's missed it, obviously. And it was one of them. Nunez, sorry.
And
it was one of those where you think, times like that, just get rid of him. Just clear him out. You know, that has to go into, has to go out for a throw in every single time. But yeah, there's times like that sometimes where you think, yeah, actually the perfection in that part of football is to just get rid of that ball. But yeah, anyway, I take your point. I get it. And moving on, I think actually when you look at it as a whole, because it sounds like we're being a bit negative here, but we're not, because I think that overall we still played very well. As I said, we opened that game up very, 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 well, a lot better anyway than we have done recently. I think, as you say, when you put it back to last season, you look at it last season, we didn't have the pressure. We had no one really looking at us. We've invited this pressure because we deserve the pressure. We have been one of the best footballing sides in the league for some time now. So we deserve the pressure, but also we need to cope with it. And I think the lucky thing is we've got De Zerbi to do that. And I think that he will. And I think, as I say, it is a learning on the job sort of thing. And we will get there. But I don't know. I think we were a lot better than probably we're giving credit for here, because I thought actually on the base of the game, that is a win against probably one of the most informed teams in the league at the moment.
Definitely.
That's open, by the way. Take that as you will.
No, definitely. I think to get a point against Liverpool, like you said, this season, I know we've played really well against them the past few seasons. We've actually got some really big wins against them. But this season, considering how well they're playing, To go away with a point is not shameful at all. And especially with the way the past few weeks have gone, I think, if anything, it's actually more impressive considering we've not been at our best. To get a point against a very impressive Liverpool side, I think it's great. Yeah, and it's definitely positive. Like you say, you know, we're pointing out a few negative things, but on the whole, we're still happy. Like, you know, to get a point against Liverpool is brilliant. And before the international break, it was really key, I think, not to lose. And I think the fact that we got a point out of that was huge. Yeah. To go into that international break off the back of a loss, I think that could have been potentially going into City would have been awful, because obviously City now have lost. Was it three in the bounce?
Three in the bounce. Yeah. Which I was gonna say because worst team in the league. I was gonna say there was a really, really interesting stat that came out before the game, which was how recently did each Premier League side lose back to back league games.
Yes.
And it was City, December 2018 was the last time that happened, but now that's gone. So up next it was Brighton from 2022 in October. So now we've got the best streak of, well, how would you, I don't even know how you would word that.
We haven't lost consecutively.
Best streak on the bounce back.
Literally. And then up behind us is Crystal Palace, surprisingly. They haven't lost back to back since.
That is surprising.
Which is really surprising. I'm just going to quickly have a look at it and get it open. Yeah, they haven't lost since back to back games in the league since March 2023. Then it's us October 2022, which is crazy.
Okay, it's not that long ago then.
For them, I know, like, but the fact that
you think about it, you've had a. It's just pre-season in between then.
Yeah, it's just the fact that ours is pretty.
2018 is outrageous. But, mental.
Not anymore, baby. Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's our stat now.
But I think they're going to now be licking their wounds, and they're going to come back next week. And I know we're going to do a preview separately, but I don't think that's helped us. But to get a point against Liverpool, that's going to put us into the international break much more confident and actually in a much better space, I think, going into it.
No, I do agree. I think it's all very positive still. I think we've got a lot to be excited about at the moment. The future is still very much Brighton, and I think I don't know. I think, yeah, probably a good time for the international break. Yeah, you caught on with that. I think it's a good time for international break, as you say, because it's a time to refresh for the majority of the squad. There is still quite a lot going out, though, to be fair. Obviously, yeah, Mitoma's come back. Ansu Fati's been called up this morning, last night, as a last-minute call-up to Spain. So congratulations to Ansu. As much as probably we want to see a little bit more from you at the moment, Ansu, if you can, mate, that'd be good. But yeah, final mention of the whole thing, because I think this is a poignant moment. Unless, Maz, you have something else
just
else
quickly, to add. Just quickly, I did want to ask you, boys, what you thought about the Pascal Gross incident, because apparently, by the letter of the law, that should have been a straight red. But I'm unsure. I thought it would have been hard.
I was going to say,
never a red, mate. Never a red. No, it's fine. Sorry.
I saw a replay where the referee actually went to his pocket to get a card out and then for whatever reason stopped. So I'm assuming he got something in his ear saying it's not a red card, like don't book him, or as in it's not a sending off. But then maybe in his eyes he was like, it is a sending off. So I don't know if there was some kind of like miscommunication with VAR.
But he must have got a yellow from it, surely.
I don't think he did. You know, I'm really? From memory. I don't think he did he?
Well, I think if we got away with that
refereeing performance in general was abysmal. To be fair,
yeah. I mean, you know, we've had a few stinkers. To be fair,
like, the annoying thing about obviously which we didn't speak about, the Virgil van Dijk incident where he hit his hand. You know, we're against Luton. No, but Baz, let me land. But against Luton, hits Dunk's back and then hits his arm in very very close quarters. And the same's happened to Van Dijk. I'm not saying, I don't think any of them are a penalty, by the way. I'm just saying, but then we get that, you know, Van Dijk hits his leg and then hits his arm. Where's the consistency? We say it's every episode. Where's the consistency? Yeah. Why is Dunk?
That is true.
Although they did apologise for Dunks, didn't they? I think they said that they got that incorrect. But luckily, yeah, but we won the game like 4-1 anyway. It's just classic.
Replay.
Just on that quickly, by the way, Gross didn't get booked for the penalty.
Wow, okay, so yeah, that's pretty mad.
Yeah, but yeah, so, I agree. It does come down to poor officiating, simple as that. Like, there's one rule for some teams or certain incidents, and then there's another rule for another. Like,
big six.
There's just no consistency, like you say, Ben, unfortunately. And honestly, I don't think we covered it as a three, but that PGMOL release of audio release was just a shambles. Like, how that audio is, like, how do I even exist? Like, referees just sitting there going, oh yeah, check complete, and he's going, no, it's wrong, pull it back, and he's like, sorry, I can't do that. What is happening? Like,
it's the laws as well, because then I saw Mike Dean obviously have a spat with Paul Merson, and then he's like, well, it's the laws, Merson, you can't do anything about it. I get that, but the laws are dumb, and I think that's the whole point, that some of the laws are ridiculous.
The laws change all the time. The law changes season.
Yeah, why can't you literally just change that? Just change that, so you can go back. You can go back 20 seconds.
Yeah, honestly, it's back. My brain can't handle it. There you go. It's another.
I've got a shoot in like 2 to 5 minutes, so we good to wrap up soonish, please, boys. Thank you. What were you going to say there, Ryan?
Alex McAllister deserved the plaudits, I think. At the end, it was nice to see Roberto De Zerbi putting his arm around him. That was lovely, I thought. And mate, just come back, for God's sake. Get your money for a year, right, and then come back, if that's all right. But no, full credit to Alexis for that, to be fair.
Yeah, he didn't really need nice to
do
to that, see.
He did. So that's how you leave a football club, with grace and decorum. You don't have to go out and just refuse to play and put, it's just crazy. But yeah, thank you, Alexis, for that. Very much appreciated. Not that you'll ever see this.
A great example of how to leave a football club, like you said, Ryan. That's very, very true. That's the pod title as well, by the way.
Cool.
Return of the Mac. I think that's sorted.
What's that?
Return of the Mac.
Return of the Mac. Yeah. Thank you for the goal. That was nice. But yeah, also thank you for the applause at the end. We're not friends during the game, but we can be friends afterwards. And it's nice that there's a mutual respect, that's for sure. But yes, I think that's just about everything covered. Make sure you're liking, commenting, subscribing. Comments below. What do you want to do? Probably something about either Solly, maybe. Or a Dingra or Dunk or, I don't know, your choice. A Dingra? Why don't we do that goal, it was pretty nice, to be fair.
In the comments and then do another pod title.
All right, well, you can think of that whilst I have dinner.
All right.
You can have to figure that out. Yeah, fair point. Okay, cool. Right. Anyways.
Return of the Mac in the comments.
Nice one. Right. See you soon after probably, who's next? City.
International break.
For City. Anyway, until then. Yeah, until then. See you in a bit.
Peace. Cheers.
away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.